Welcome to the Adamantium Podcast, episode number 193. Welcome back, Adamantomaniacs. I am your host, Adam R. Harrison, and thank you so much for tuning in today. You're going to have to pardon my voice a little again this week. I'm still battling this infection that I picked up during my trip to Argentina. I don't feel too awful. I'm not bedridden or anything. I'm just very congested, and it just doesn't want to go away. But the show must go on, and we've got an episode for you today featuring a local Toronto artist. He's an R&B pop singer. He goes by the name of 12AM, and he's joining us today on the Adamantium Podcast to talk about his career and his latest singles, of which his newest single is a song called Over You, and it just came out a couple weeks ago, so you can check that out wherever you get your music. 12AM is a Sony Music artist, and so we met up at Sony's head office here in Toronto, and we had a great hang. He's also a gamer, and so we were able to shoot the breeze on that a bit too. If you are listening to the podcast today and you are learning about 12AM for the first time, well, we're going to do the Adamantium Recommend segment. So that's where I pick out five of my favorite songs by the artist that you could check out before or after the interview. You can also find a selection of all these picks across all the episodes on the Adamantium Recommends playlist, which is on Apple Music. So you can go check that out also. But my five picks for 12AM are going to start with his newest single. Like I said, it's called Over You. It just came out a couple weeks ago. My second pick is a single he released last year. It's called Next to You. And these two songs are more on the pop side than his hip-hop background, which we'll talk about in the interview. And then going back to 2022, I'm going to recommend a single called Showgirls, which he did with Tyla Yahweh and Pressa. And then we'll go back to his 2021 EP, which was titled After Midnight. And I'm going to recommend the song Voices, which features The Holiday, as well as the song Come Over. And that's it. So check those out. And don't forget to check out the Adamantium Recommends playlist on Apple Music. Now, if you're a 12AM fan who's tuning into the podcast for the very first time today, first of all, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you enjoy today's interview and that you might join us again sometime. And you can do so by hitting that subscribe button on whichever podcast network you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow the Adamantium Podcast on social media. We're on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on X at Adam R. Harrison. But you can find us just by searching The Adamantium Podcast. And that's it. Quick and breezy intro for today's episode. Let's get right into the interview with 12AM right here on episode 193 of the Adamantium Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with more real soon. We are with 12AM. Welcome, man. Thank you for doing the podcast.
Of course.
And well, now I want to talk, before we get rolling into, you know, your music career and stuff, I want to talk because I'm a big gamer myself.
Oh,
and
let's jump right into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. We're here at Sony. So yeah. What are you, you're a PlayStation guy?
I have to be contractually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was always a PlayStation guy.
Yeah, I was actually an Xbox kid.
You were, okay.
Yeah, I was like one of those nerds that stayed home and played Halo.
Halo, okay.
Which it's awesome to be a nerd, by the way, and that's what I was. But yeah, I would play Halo like every day after school and just love it. And then the PS5 came out. And I was like, damn, I think I need to get the PS5. But I was like Xbox till then.
Until recently. Yeah, okay, because yeah. I was always a PlayStation guy. I had Xbox 360, but I think I only actually kept it for a couple of years. And then I traded it in because I was just always a Sony guy.
It is good. I mean, nowadays, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Because you can play with everybody, right?
Though I read this whole thing about how, like, I can't remember which company it was, but Xbox just like acquired some company that's gonna like
call it like Activision.
Yes, it was Activision. Yeah. They've basically got now like a monopoly on Call of Duty and a bunch of.
So we'll see, but
yeah,
I think they'll still have it on every system.
Yeah, what did you think of the GTA trailer?
It's crazy. What I think about Grand Theft Auto in general, though, is even crazier because that game's been like 10 years old and it's still
GTA 5.
Yeah. Like the fact that they just dropped a new trailer is absolutely insane.
It's crazy that people are still playing GTA 5.
The amount of money that thing has made is just, I don't even want to know. I do want to know, but I don't. At the same time.
The hype just for the trailer was insane.
Yeah, right? It was like the most viewed YouTube video.
Did you hear what happened to the guy, too, who leaked it?
No, what? They probably X'd him out. Like,
No, so it's like some guy who's like a pro hacker. This guy hacked like two companies in the two major, like a petroleum company or something and a communications company in the UK. He was the one who hacked Rockstar and apparently was like blackmailing. And like, don't quote me, I don't know the full, but something like blackmailed them for like $5 million and they were going to give it to him.
Oh.
And then they caught him. Damn. They caught him and he got sentenced to life in a hospital prison. And
he's got to fight that.
So apparently,
you can't just send someone to a hospital.
That's what I was listening to a podcast about it or something. And this guy was like, you know, because he's in the UK or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're like, you know, like British Secret Service is going to be like, okay, you can spend life in this hospital prison or you can come work for MI6.
Get that man a job. Don't put him in a hospital.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, like, sick people need the
bed. Well, because like this guy could pretty much like hack in everything. And he had like, apparently when they caught him, he had like no intention to stop or something. So,
man, I wish he got that $5 million, to be honest. Yeah, I was rooting for him.
Yeah.
He's in the hospital, so yeah. It's weird.
So what kind of gamer are you? Like Call of Duty.
I used to play a lot of NBA 2K. Now I kind of just play Warzone with the homies.
Like, okay,
what I do. But it's just these games nowadays. They're massive. Well, it's just like they're so demanding. Like, I don't know how I have the time these days.
Yeah,
so, like, these games are like kill 5,000 people in Call of Duty in one day. It's like you have to spend like 8 hours to like unlock something. So it's just gotten like where
the commitment's too much.
Yeah, I think that happened after COVID. Because during COVID,
everyone had all the time.
These game companies are like, okay, let's make it so it's like they have to do something every single day.
Right, right.
And now it's like
the freemium stuff.
Yeah,
it's brutal. I got sucked into like that Baldur's Gate game.
Oh, I heard that was good. I don't really play those type of games. I really liked Cyberpunk though.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was
really cool. Did you ever play The Witcher?
I didn't play The Witcher, no.
Oh, yeah, The Witcher's unreal. See, I'm like, to me, because I grew up in like the, you know, the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. Like for me, video games is like, it's therapy. It's meditative. So
yeah.
I'm totally like a single player gamer.
Yeah.
Like, that's my time. Leave me alone. Let me crawl up in the couch here.
Yeah,
you know, my day's busy. Let me just sit here and enjoy whatever I'm playing. So
I think I have really too much ADHD to like really knock out a single player game.
Right.
I need it to be like Fast and Furious, like some Warzone.
Yeah.
But I did like Cyberpunk. I actually beat that game. But it takes a lot for me to really get into a single player.
It was so buggy at the beginning.
I played it way later on.
Yeah, which is apparently because I played it at the beginning, and apparently now it's just like a different game. It's way better.
It was cool though.
Yeah. Anyways, man, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. So
the music,
man. But that's the great thing about podcasts. You talk about whatever, man. Whatever interests you, whatever's on your mind today. It's true. You ever written a song about gaming?
Shoot. Have I wrote a song about gaming? No, but I should.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You should. There you go. Okay, so you have a new single that came out in November. You got another single coming out like in a week or two.
Yeah.
We're going to get to those, but tell the listeners who are maybe, you know, being introduced to you now for the first time. Let's go back. Let's hear the origin story. So,
and started out as a little baby.
Yeah, tell me about
years old.
Yeah. No, but tell me about when you first discovered your love for music and when you started making your own music.
Yeah, I think I first discovered, like, my parents really loved music.
Were they musicians? Or
my dad was like he could play guitar, he could sing, and my mom could sing. So I was around like Motown and like I really liked like the Jackson 5 and like the Eagles, and they were all always playing it. But then when I got the Eminem Marshall Mathers LP, it's like my life changed. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, what is he saying?
Yeah.
And I'm glad as a kid I didn't know what he was saying, because if you listen to the album now, you're like, this guy's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I was like, it's just like the emotion and like the confidence that this person has. And then I just put on, like, I started just wearing whatever Eminem and 50 Cent would wear. And I was just, like, captured in the culture. I was like, okay, this is, I guess, what I want to be.
It was a very different direction from the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah, it was totally different. And it was very weird that I was full-on dread. Like, I'm, thank God my parents were like, he can wear whatever he wants. But maybe, like, I should have toned it down a little bit, because I was, like, wearing, like, chains and, like, fake grills and, like, ripped too. So it's like, what is this kid doing?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that was, like, my life.
You grew up here in Toronto?
I grew up in Ottawa.
In Ottawa. Okay, yeah, yeah. Cool.
So I was born in Toronto, but I grew up in Ottawa. And I just loved everything hip-hop. That's what I grew up on. And I started writing raps at, like, 6 or 7.
Wow.
So I just wanted to be... I had a goal to be in G-Unit.
Okay.
That was, like, my childhood dream. It wasn't obviously feasible at the time.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell me anything at that time. So I thought I was going to be the first member in G-Unit to be white, actually.
Yeah,
I was going to be the first white guy in G-Unit. Didn't happen, but that was the goal.
Yeah, that's cool, man. When did you realize, like, this could be a career for you?
I think, actually, I put up this song in high school, and they actually played it on the radio.
Okay.
And it was Hot 89.9 because of Race, who's the best director in radio in Canada. I love her. And she put my song on, like, Battle of the Beats or something.
Okay.
And so when that happened and I heard my song on the radio for the first time, I was like, dude, I could do this.
Yeah.
And at the time it was like, you know, really, that was radio. Like, there was no, like, I don't even think there was Spotify at
right,
that time.
No, no. When, no. How old would you have been then?
Like, high
like
school,
in high school. 15, yeah, no, 16, for sure. Not,
yeah, no. So I was like, I've almost done it. You know what I mean? Like, so it inspired me to kind of keep going. And that was, like, the first thing. So shout out Race from.
Yeah. Spotify. Yeah. And I noticed, like, and it's interesting now that you mentioned, you know, your, you know, what was playing in the house, because I notice, especially in some of your newer singles, like, that kind of maybe more origin influence, like Motown and stuff like that. But I noticed, like, you have across your career now, you have, like, a good variety of sound between pop, R&B, hip hop, and even within the tempos, within the music. Is that something that's always been top of mind for you, that, like, you always wanted to have?
I think definitely. I think I started kind of my career, like, when I was seriously making it, like, when I started making music as 12 a.m., I wanted to stick to a certain genre. But then when I moved to L.A. And I started working with, like, kind of like the people I used to look up to. So it was very quick. When I moved to LA, I started getting in the rooms with, like, my idols. And what I noticed was, like, I was working with different genres of producers, and I'm such a big I'm such a big fan of songwriting in general that I wanted to just try everything. And then I found that, like, through growing up listening to Blink and 50 and Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and, like, the boy bands, I kind of had, like, this thing where I just loved it all. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I only listen to this guy. Like, I listened to everything. So when I was in the rooms with these people, I kind of had this, like, this natural ability to just kind of write whatever is needed in that time. And I kind of took it with my own music to kind of cross genre kind of almost everything. So
yeah, it's actually been a hot topic on this podcast a lot, because a lot of artists now are bending genre, and it seems to be, like, encouraged now, and it's not, like, it was such a silly thing. Like, when I was in high school, even, like, within a certain genre, like, there was the artists you were supposed to like and the artists you weren't supposed to like.
Like, everybody in high school hated Justin Bieber.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, you're probably, and every girl was like, oh my God, I love Justin Bieber. But I was like, I don't get why people hate this kid. He is insane.
Yeah.
You can hear, like, he's singing like Michael Jackson.
And it's kind of like years later, you listen back, like, these are good tunes.
These are,
like,
great. Are you kidding
me? Yeah. So I was the same way. Like, even, like, I remember, if you're like, you know, because I was always a rock and roll guy, but when I was in high school, like, I went through, you know, like, emo punk was really big and stuff like that. And I was a big metal, and it was like, I wasn't supposed to like The Killers and stuff. And I was like, that Hot Fuss album was, like, one of the best albums that was released in, like, when I was in high school. And it's like, I wasn't supposed to like it. So I was like,
I know.
Forget those guys, you know? Now I love The Killers.
That's what I'm saying. I remember hearing Blink 182 for the first time.
Yeah.
And being mind blown, because, I was so into rap, and all my friends were so into rap, and I was listening. I was like, why do I love this so much? And yeah. I wouldn't even, like, tell my friends I was listening to Blink. Yeah. And then now, like, and then fast forward, I'm working with Travis Barker in the studio. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. This is, like... Well, and Travis Barker works with everybody. Yeah, exactly. Every genre, like...
Exactly. But, and it was just cool. But, like, at the time, I was, like, worried to tell people what I was listening to. But now, Blink is so loved by... So it's cool mm-hmm. to see that, like, genres aren't so, like, yeah. kind of gatekeeped and, like...
Tell me what that was like for you working with Travis Barker.
I remember hearing him on my song for the first time. I couldn't even stand. I was running around my room, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Just when he sent the file back, I was just mind blown. So it was definitely, like, an achievement. There's a lot of stuff in my career that, like, it's pretty mind blown that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was definitely like one of the biggest ones.
Okay. So tell me, you were saying too, like when you first went to LA, you started, you know, meeting your idols, even working with them. Who were some of the people that you were like, wow, I can't believe I'm in the room with this person?
I mean, there was a lot. There was certain people that I became really good friends with. Because I'm more like, I don't care about somebody's like name or mm-hmm. fame or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm more of like the talent. And I remember when I was working with Omer Fetty, mm-hmm. me and him were great friends, but we were working like almost every day. And like, I just remember like hearing this kid, he was like 17 at the time, just play guitar, like just ripping every song. And I just told him, I was like, dude, you're going to be like the biggest guitar player mm-hmm. in the world. And now he is not even the biggest guitar. He's one of the biggest producers in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I love that. Like when you're a good person, but you're also so talented at music, like that's like mm-hmm. my favorite thing. Obviously, like when I met Post, that was incredible because, you know, he's one of my favorite artists. And I like just, there's just a ton of incredible people. I met Pooh Bear. And he's a really big songwriter. He does all Bieber's music.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was like one of my favorites. Like he in the songwriting world, like Pooh Bear is like one of my idols.
Okay.
So
okay.
It was cool when I met him and worked with him. So there's just a ton of people.
That's cool, man. That's awesome. I mean, you've been pretty much consistently pushing out singles since like 2016. How do you keep it consistent? How do you keep it fresh? Like for you, you know, how do you avoid getting the block or?
How do I avoid getting the block? I don't really.
Or like how do you think you've grown as a songwriter in the last say like 8 years?
Oh, grown? It's just from like, kind of realizing that, it's just a song at the end of the day. Like I think a lot of people overthink it.
Right.
And they're like, oh, we have to do this. We have to do that. It has to be this. It has to be that. It's like, you know, just write a song mm-hmm. and people are going to love it or they're not going to love it. But just it makes it a lot easier when you're not thinking that it's a mathematical equation. It's just it's just lyrics, melody and music. So, yeah. You know, if you're talented at playing guitar and you can sing and write some songs, you can make a great song. So it's been a lot easier for me now, like when I took the pressure of like, because in LA it was like the theme was like write a hit, every song's gonna be a hit, and then you're not even thinking about what
people... Now it's like it's got to get the TikTok hits.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I don't even think about that stuff anymore. I just make a song. If I love it, then that's mm-hmm. good enough, and then hopefully other people love it too.
Cool. I like that, man.
Yeah.
Think I, you know, because we got on the talk, I think before your latest single, I read something, a post that you posted that you were actually seriously considering quitting music.
Yeah.
For a reason like that, you know, like, because it was just being pushed on you to make TikToks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that period.
There's a ton of reasons why, like, I considered it, and it's not just the music side, it's the business side, and mm-hmm. it's the when things get tangled up and you kind of lose the passion for like why you started making music, because mm-hmm. why you started making music was like, you know, like to have fun and to mm-hmm. reach people. And some of my least streamed songs are some people's favorite songs they've ever heard, and they'll message me saying this helped me do this, and that's why I do mm-hmm. it, right? Not to go viral or mm-hmm. to do this or to do that. So I kind of just didn't want to get trapped in this new kind of like content creation, even though it's super important.
Right.
And but like it just the music side I kind of fell out of love with. And
yeah,
I,
where it's like balancing where that, you know, that yeah. content creation doesn't overtake the actual creating of music.
And I mean, I've lost good friends over just how terrible business that gets handled during.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like you can grow up knowing someone for so long and have so much success, and then the minute they, you know, go straight business and ruin a friendship over dollars. It's
right.
like, it's like, what has happened in the world? You know what I mean? Like there's, you get in this industry and you find out quickly that money will like change a lot of people and turn people into just like bad humans. And the problem with me is like, I like to do things fair and honest and make sure everyone succeeds. And I just, it's hard to find like, you know, not everyone. There's a lot of great people in music, but there's a lot of people who are just in it for selfish like greed, you know what I mean? And I got tired of it. Now, like recently, I've been just a lot happier with how I'm handling my own business. I kind of used like last year as a way of learning a lot, and just now I'm kind of like running how I want to run, doing business how I want to do,
okay,
and making sure that it's fair for everyone, but also I'm not getting taken advantage
of. So what were kind of some of the key elements to making sure that?
Just learning that like the my kindness that I had and my like willingness to like give to other people would easily get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like building that boundary up where it's like, no, this is how I'm going to do it. It's fair for everyone and I'm not going to accept anything less. So that's kind of how like that the learning of 2023.
It's like learning that level where, you know, you keep kind, but you kind of have to put your foot down at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And just know, you know, what you're bringing to the table and know your value, know your worth. And
it's tough too, man, like balancing a passion with, you know, as that's also your occupation, right? Mm-hmm. Like how much of it is doing it out of what you love doing and what part of it is, you know, putting food on the table.
Yeah,
right?
At the end of the day, it's a business. And
yeah.
And I guess like I looked back on 2023 and I was like, you know, it's man, like, I used to think, oh, like that was such a, you know, bad year, like this happened. And now I look at it like that was the most important year of my life because I learned so much.
You learned from those, those hard times.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
And then now starting this year and the last couple months, I've never been happier in my life. Like
that's,
I just
that's
have
great,
it all,
man. Yeah.
Not have it all set up. I'm not good to retire. But
right,
like,
right, right.
You know what I mean?
You
like,
got
I,
a vision like,
yeah.
that you want
to. And just talking to people in general, just in life, like it really taught me like what I'm comfortable doing and what I'm comfortable not and how I want to.
So what are some, I know you've got a new single coming out that we're going to talk about, but tell me about like, what are your goals for now having this happened in 2022, 2023, what are your goals for 2024?
I just, honestly, I have a bunch of music I want to release. I want to do, I did a show recently that was awesome. A lot of people came out. It was good to perform again. I haven't performed in a little bit. And
that
just,
was the one at the Drake, right?
At the Drake. So that was really fun. I have a couple other like business opportunities that I'm diving into that I'm really excited about. Branching like outside of music too, and just building more there. But on the music front, like I really just want to make what I want to make, release what I want to release, and just kind of run my career how I want to again. And it's just, and me being the front runner of that.
Yeah.
And kind of taking back control of my project and my artist.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I noticed that like when I was kind of scanning through your timeline, your career, that, After Midnight, that EP was kind of like a game changer for you.
It was really cool. It was awesome. Worked with a lot of cool people. Had Chris Villa doing all the videos. And now he's just on top of the world. And that's one of my best friends in life. I had awesome features. I did a song with the guy I grew up with, Jutes. And then The Holiday, who's also incredibly talented. And It was just an overall like great project, and I was like super happy with it. I really, really, my main goal this year too is to release an actual full album.
Okay.
And that's been a goal of mine for so long, so that's definitely gonna happen. But that EP was cool. A lot of cool videos. And then after the EP too, we released a song with Tyla and Pressa.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that song. Yeah.
So it was great, and then you know a couple things happened, and a couple things were out of my control, and then we took a little break from making music, and now the goal that I have is to not take those breaks again. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
put out a full album. Yeah, which exactly. Would be cool. Yeah, tell me about that song. How you got linked with Tyla and Pressa. That's the song Showgirls.
Yeah.
So tell me about that song, because that's one of my favorite songs of yours.
Yeah, I absolutely love that song.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, so me and Tyler made that song. I made that song in my apartment in North Hollywood, and then I was chilling with Tyler. I was over at his crib almost every day, and I played on the song, and he was like, "Oh my God, like mm-hmm. let me hop on this." And I was like, for sure. He cut his verse really quick, and it was supposed to just be me and Tyla.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in the room with Pressa, and he was like, yo, play some stuff. Played him that one. I was mm-hmm. like, this is what me and Tyla are doing. He's like, it's me, you, and Tyla now.
yeah.
Pressa's on it now. Yeah. So I was like, all right, load it up. He recorded it verse, and then... it was just like an organic, like everyone loved the hook.
Yeah.
So I was
it
just
gave
like,
me like weekend vibes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely like a fun club song just about, and it burst because when I went on tour in America, definitely hit up a lot of strip clubs. So that was kind of like the thing to do after the shows, which is now I'm like a little older. So
yeah.
It's not financially the good thing to do. I learned that. But at the time it was awesome. Yeah.
Tell me about making the video. The video was a lot of fun. It looked like
so we had like some real burlesque dancers in that mm-hmm. video. That was really cool because I'm a big fan of like burlesque and the whole like theme of it.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to create this like kind of Quentin Tarantino like heist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we were kind of running a little heist of a bunch of rich people and stealing their jewelry.
It looked like a lot of fun to make.
Yeah, it was fun. And the actors were so good. Like it was so funny. And then it was just funny because it was very far out of the way. So everyone was like, where the hell are we going? Because I think it was all the way in Long Beach. But it was great. They killed it. And then Logan Mize directed it. And he's just one of the best, in my opinion, in the world. He did such a good job. And Acer on the production was incredible. So yeah, it was a 10 out of 10 for sure.
That's cool, man. There's this like, I actually had the guy who created it on my podcast. But
and Taro this... producing it, sorry.
No worries.
I always forget to shout out Taro, and he always messaged me. We're friends here. And I'm like, yeah, so Taro produced it. He produced Drugs as well too. And Ski Mask, and he's just incredible as well. So I'm just like lucky to have these friends that are so
good. That's awesome, man.
Good.
What I was gonna say is we had this creator on the podcast once, and he's apparently like one of the best known burlesque directors.
Oh, cool.
And he travels around the world with it, and I think I was mentioning it because I think it's coming back to Toronto again. He does like this Star Wars parody burlesque show. It's called Empire Strips Back, and it fills like an entire theater.
That's so sick.
And so I interviewed him, and I saw the show. It was incredible, man. Like the production that goes into his shows are unreal. So I was gonna tell you because I think it's coming back to Toronto again.
That title sounds like something you'd find on your like older brother's like MacBook back in the day, being like, yo, what do you want?
Yeah, and the guy's like Australian, so he's like a hoot too. Like, and anyways, yeah. So when you wrote Next to You, tell me what, like, because now this was after the period where you were kind of like, I don't really know, you know, what I want to do. And you kind of came back and it had a very different sound from what you were doing before.
Yeah, it's so tell a little me, more happy.
Yeah, but a little more like, you know, kind of like, you know, pop ballady kind of influence. So tell me what was inspiring that song.
I think it just came from, like, I did a lot of songwriting in 2023, wrote a lot of, like, pop-style songs for some artists, and how I would work is I would record the song, basically, first, and then kind of send it to whoever I was working with. And there was just one song where, that's what I did, I recorded that song, and I was like, damn, this sounds so good the way it is. Let's just have me release it. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of how I work. I'm recording a bunch all the time. And, mm-hmm. and, uh, But it was cool. It was fun. And then Tyler Dobbs produced it, and he was doing a lot with one of my close friends, Club, who him and Club and Charlie on a Friday do a lot together. So when Tyler did his production, it like really took it to the next level. So it was definitely a cool way of like kind of organically working on something with someone that I've always wanted to work with as well. So
cool, man. That's really good. And like same with the single you put out before that, Whoever Has You Next. Same thing. Like similar kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a direction you want to kind of take things in now, or just like
I think for the next couple songs I'm releasing, they're definitely like kind of honest, like you know, heart kind of either breaking or heart loving songs. But I definitely have I have a bunch of different styles that I always want to tap into. So like this might be one phase, and then the next project I kind of want to take it back to some old school vibes where I'm doing the rapping and singing again about you know, just some more fun topics. But it's good to like be vulnerable.
Of course.
And be serious.
Yeah.
But it gets to the point if you keep writing heartbreak depressing songs, you're gonna probably be a little sad. So I kind of want to focus my energy how I'm feeling in the moment. You know what I mean? Because at that moment I was going through a breakup. So
right, of course, you gotta go what's on the mind. If you're having fun, you're in a good spot. You know, there's always an interview I always go back to that I remember, and it really stuck with me. Is there was an interview with the guys from Slipknot.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah. And there, I interviewed Corey Taylor once. It was awesome. Sick. Yeah, but I always remember this interview where they were like, you know, some of your fans are criticizing you now because your music's like not angry enough anymore. And they're like, well, we were like 21 then. We're 35. We're married. We have families. Like, we're really not that angry. Yeah. You know? So
it's It'd like, be weird if they were still
You know
angry.
What I mean? It's like, it's harder to write angry songs when you're not angry, you know? So it's like, we evolve just like, you know, just like we do as people. So it's like, it really stuck with me. And I was like, that's a very fair point. It's true. Like, how are you supposed to write angry songs when you're not angry?
So Eminem still does it though. So kudos. Like, he's still angry.
And yeah.
Like,
well, that's everything, bro. Some people are just always angry, mad? You know? Yeah.
Still sounds great. But
yeah.
Like,
that's it.
You know?
That's it. I think he kind of crushed MGK's like rap career, but
I just don't know why he's so mad all the time, but it works.
But then he had a comeback that was better than his rap career. Okay. So what can you tell us about your upcoming single Over You?
Yeah. So Over You is just like, I've always been into like folk music and stripped back acoustic music. And I really wanted to like do a song, especially with what I was going through, because at the time I was like freshly off a breakup, and the hook is like, you say that it's over, but how could I get over you? Like, you know what I mean? So I thought in my head when I was all like heartbroken, like I'm never gonna find love again, this is the end for me, blah blah blah, and then I wrote a song about it. So like in the moment, that's how I truly felt, because it's really hard to like truly get over someone that you spent so much time
you're stuck
with.
In a zone and you can't.
Exactly. And then I just wanted,
we've all been there, you know, like
it's tough. And I just wanted like strip it back and just have it be like real instruments and real drums and real guitar and just make.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So did you work with a band on that song, or?
No, I just worked with a producer who's super dope. But he did all the instruments, which were amazing.
Really cool. Yeah.
And, and I was really inspired about with Post's last album with Noah Kahan. In that direction, and I absolutely loved it.
I loved Austin,
and
Noah Kahn's album.
Yeah, Noah Kahn,
too,
like Stick Seasons, one of the greatest songs I've ever heard.
So good, man.
Yeah. So I love like pushing myself to do certain styles of music, and it just felt like natural. So I just rocked out.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. Those were two of my favorite albums last year, so it's cool that you... Yeah, and it's funny because like I feel like anyone from any genre can appreciate those, you know?
Yeah, it's like real good music, and it's nice to hear that like real good music can be popular.
Yeah, I'm a rock and roll guy, you know, I've always been hard rock, and I was like, man, Post Malone put out one of the best albums last year, you know? And Noah Kahan, too, like, which is cool. So that's coming out in the next couple of weeks, yeah?
Yeah.
Can we say the date? January 27th, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
26th.
I was just checking if we could say the date.
All right. Cool. Yeah, so January 26th, check that out. I think this will probably air after that, so...
Okay.
So download it now. Download it now, yeah.
Download it, stream it now.
Download it now. That's cool, man. So all the best, like, at 2024. Any, like, what's a dream collaboration for you? Who do you want to get in the studio with?
Would love to get in the studio with, honestly, probably Noah Kahan now.
Yeah.
I always say Justin Bieber, but like, duh.
Yeah.
Or Drake.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a dream collaboration.
Yeah, yeah. But go, Noah Kahan would be really cool because I really respect his songwriting like a lot.
Yeah, he just took off super quick too. Now he's like headlining festivals and that's wicked. Cool. Where are we going to be able to see you live again? Like, what's that looking like?
So I think I got some stuff planned. I think I'm about to like announce it in a month, but probably later in March.
Okay.
So that should be
a little bit later in the year. Yeah. We're going to get to see you live.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. All right. Well, 12 a.m. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for tuning in to the Adamantium podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd absolutely love for you to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. I'd also love to see you on social media. You can follow on Instagram @TheAdamantium, on Facebook @TheAdamantium podcast, and on Twitter @AdamRHarrison. Thank you again so much for listening.